out that way.
It just came out that way, and even for the band, like, I didn't really give them any direction. Like, it was just kind of whatever they had in their soul and they wanted to play to the day of the recording, which that was a whole other thing. We were kind of in a rush that day, so we only had 4 takes that we could do it in. And wow. So what you heard there was within 4 bed takes, and then we did a separate vocal session. Even the ending, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad we got that. I couldn't imagine it ending it any other way. So everything was all just kind of meant to be. But yeah, I definitely, you know, listen to a lot of psychedelic rock. It's just deep within me, I guess. I can't tell you a certain moment or a song that I was listening to, but it's just kind of been a genre of music that's been with me for a really really long time, and I love it.
Are you, when you're writing songs, are you, like, conscious of influence? Like, are you...
No.
It just
I don't even remember writing them. Yeah. It's like a blackout thing. It's like, you wrote it, hopefully, I usually have, when I feel like it's going to be something that I'm going to want to remember, I'll hit the record button, and then kind of just capture it. But a lot of the time, if you, like, say, like, oh, what was writing that song like? I can't actually remember that moment. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. You just enter the songherwiting state, and then whatever happens there is hopefully preserved by you recording.
Me hitting record, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's gone forever. It was just a beautiful moment.
Well, and I mean, I guess that is kind of the essence of recording music and recording an album is capturing those beautiful moments, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to... You were talking earlier about, you know, sort of like... having these moments of creation with friends where it you feel the song sort of come together and it rides, and it's like what a gift to be able to share that moment with other people through recordings, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
it would be a shame if we only got to listen to you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we'd all go to more shows and so it would be better, but I don't know.
Maybe we do more mushrooms is what I think. But, that's incredible work on the track. How faithfully do you, like, plan to recreate it live? Like, do you guys play it exactly like that? Do
Pretty
you
much.
Riff a little bit more, or is there, like, more improv on that? Because it feels like it's ripe and open for experimentation within it, right?
It is. We've jammed it out. Sometimes, you know, make the bridge a little longer, shout everybody out. It's already 5.5 minutes long, though, so sometimes I'll pick a different song to do that because it does get long. But it sounds, I mean, outside of the synth, because we don't have a synth on stage, we could. It sounds essentially like that.
It's for the hand signals kind of really well.
No.
No more.
Quiet the bass solo.
Like, of course it varies every time, but we're pretty loyal to, because we recorded it how we've been playing it, how we've recorded it, so it's kind of an inception process. It's all
for
the
sure,
same.
For sure.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked lyrically. We've been, like, a lot of talking about, like, the band, but I kind of want to, like, dig into, like, where you went to lyrically on that song. Like, what's that song about for you?
Yeah, it's really about not wanting to be pigeonholed based on... For me, it started off being about my gender, and then it grew to be so much more. So it's really just for anybody, you know, you get automatically put into certain boxes in life, whether it's what, you know, you got to study, or how you got to dress, or how you got to behave, or the way that you talk, or the things that you do, the activities that you're interested. We get pigeonholed and told what to do all the time from when we're young in ways that we don't even know we are. And it's not even just by, like, not even our parents. It's society. It's school. It's the books you read. It's what you see on TV. And then specifically to speak on my experience as a woman where, you know, you can't leave the house unless you're made up, you're done up, you look a certain way, if your nails aren't done, you know, all these things which all my life I have detested. Like, just let me out in my pajamas. I don't want to do my hair. I don't want to wear makeup. Like, I want to dress like a boy. It's totally fine. Please don't make me wear a dress. That was kind of my vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so just a moment of just feeling really rebellious and just like your validity is not based on anything outside of you or any way that you present yourself. You can do that to package yourself to show the world, hey, this is who I am, but not in a way that's forced, just in a way that's genuine. And however you are, just who you are and how you show up is good. It's enough. It's perfect. Don't worry about what anybody else tells you. Don't worry about what the standards are, what you're supposed to be, what you're told you're supposed to be, what's quote-unquote good, what's going to appease people or help you be liked, because all that's pretty much garbage.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. And there's also a really interesting connection to what you were saying earlier when we were talking about why, you know, why we're hearing this song now, mm-hmm. and about you, you know, wanting to be ready with your own sort of self-confidence and your own sort of presentation of yourself. Is this something like, and then talking about all these ideas of what a person needs to be, particularly what like a young woman needs to be, and then a young woman in music needs to be, like, it just seems like it all sort of circles around that same sort of point of needing to be like okay with yourself, mm-hmm. and like accepting of yourself, mm-hmm. and confident that like this is who I am and this is who I need to be, and it's the only option. Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
And we talked about it off air a little bit too, especially with like music, like people want to know what genre you're playing, or like how do you, everyone is finding a way to pigeonhole yourself as, or pigeonhole you as much as you can. And it's almost a way for them to be able to digest you in somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, this song does a pretty good job of kind of like weaving into those narratives. So I think it works really well with the soundscape that you guys put together as well. Like, it's really, really cool.
Can't pigeon us to one genre.
No, absolutely. There's R&B and psych rock in there. that's amazing. So, to kind of riff on that, like, do most of the songs then like deviate and play in other like sonic like sandboxes, so to speak, in the tracks that you're putting together?
Yeah, like they do and they don't. It's very strange because all the songs that I have coming out, you'll be able to hear that they are a cohesive body of work. Like they'll have that same quality to them, but they're very different sounding songs. Even mood, energy, like they're all very different. I really, really deeply struggle with the genre question, and especially because you're looking at it from such a personal, like from the inside. Usually when it comes time to put out a song, I actually will message like 5 of my musical friends and be like, hey, what genre is that song? Mm-hmm. Because I'm so lost at this point, and I'm so far in it that it can be hard for me. I'm like, yes, I know alternative pop, okay, but like, it's more than alternative pop. There is that psychedelic rock element. There is the R&B influence. I've done songs where there's been a hip-hop influence.
The genre is Chanzina.
Yeah.
I think most of my favorite artists have that thing where they can play songs in a wide variety of genres, and it always sounds like them. And that's it's less important that you're always like a grunge rock act, and more important that you just sound like the band or the artist that you are,
mm-hmm.
right?
I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the real trick too is finding that through line,
mm.
where it's like, oh, this is identifiably a song by you without necessarily speaking for an entire genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think that's where authenticity comes in, right? Like if you're not trying to be psych rock, mm-hmm. you're just writing yourself, then you're gonna sound like yourself usually, right?
Totally.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah.
Let's get some more music. Yeah.
Oh, you want to riff on genre more?
Hey, I can spend hours. We do I do radio training at the radio station, and we spend a good half hour talking about genre and how the CRTC decides to dissect everything. And anyway, it's not interesting unless you want to get trained to make radio, in which case super interesting. Maria, is there a track you want to go to next?
Yeah, let's play another one by another one of my friends. This is Tess Anderson and her most recent single, Self Control. This one was also co-produced by David Zier, who works on my music with me, so it's another family tune.
Here we go, Self Control by Tess Anderson on the Vancouver mixtape.
Second guessing, overthinking.
By Tess Anderson here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM, guest curated by Chenzina. Anything you want to say about Tess Anderson?
Just loving the new sound and excited to hear what else she's got coming out.
Yeah, more genre-bending musical madness.
Yes. That's great. Here for the genre benders.
Downtune all those guitars. The closer we are to new metal across the board, the happier and more peaceful of society we will be.
Yeah, the 2000s were the most peaceful time in all of human history. We've talked about your band. We've talked about the process of putting this music together. Do you have live performance plans? Do you have aspirations? Like, what's going on in that front?
Yeah, so up until the holidays, I'm in a little bit of a cozy writing mode. I'm going to be recording. I'm trying to get as much recorded as I can before the holidays, so I can have some new music fresh in the new year. You might be hearing some acoustic gigs from me for the next little while,
cool.
But probably no big shows until the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta focus on, as you said, getting the album ready, getting everything good to go for that rollout.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the live performance something you look forward to, or is it something that you're like, oh, that's the thing I have to do? Like,
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, and especially when I'm playing with my band. Always nervous the day of. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter if it's a venue I've done. Doesn't matter if it's going to be 5 people there. Doesn't matter if there's going to be 200 people there. That day, I'm just like, okay, we're singing tonight. Like,
do I remember how?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did the songs go?
People like me.
Yeah. But I love it. I'm always left just feeling so recharged after, so.
And do you don't get that, or maybe you do, when it comes time to record? Like, are you nervous?
Not
the day
nervous.
Of recording?
No, not nervous. More just like, excited, curious. Yeah, no nerves on recording day.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's a little more control. Well, there's also not a crowd of strangers watching you, I guess, is probably the big thing.
Yeah.
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 So, and you've teased, like, the like a record's worth of music coming out. Has that that process? You said that you're getting into like a cozy writing state coming up here. Are there still songs on that album that you need to refine, create before actually like going into the studio to put it all together?
Yeah, 100%. It's a very loose. It's just the body of work that I'm talking about bringing into fruition, and we've got four of the songs. Two of them are done. Two of them are almost done. And then there's a couple mystery songs that we just gotta, just fine-tuning a little bit before I get in the studio.
Do you any writing in, like, as you're recording, or is it mostly sort of, like, figured out by the time you get to the recording process?
For the most part, figured out by the time I get to the recording process, especially these last few, because I've been doing them with the band, and prior to, you know, those past couple months, we were doing a lot more shows than we were recording, and so these are all songs that we've been playing for quite some time. So we've got a good group vibe with them, so it's just about when can we finally get into the studio to track that. Yeah.
I'm always so curious as to people's individual recording processes, because it seems to vary from artist to artist. Like, some people, like, refine, and then get in, and, like, the refined version is what's going on. But, like, have you found that when you get in to actually record that, like, as much as you guys have refined and put together the songs and record them as is, that, like, I don't know, like, things change while you're in there, too, and that have to make big-time decisions? Or, like, I don't know, what's it like having that third ear from maybe a producer, or, like, hearing it back straight up? That informs what you decide is the final version of a song.
Yeah, final version is such a funny thing too, because it's like you could go forever, and it's when doesn't feel ready enough, I guess. There hasn't really been too many like big, like jaw dropping moments where we're like, oh no, we need to pivot, we need to really figure something out. But that's probably because my producers are also in my band, and so any of the kinks we'd have worked out in practice or when we were playing it, which also makes it so beautiful because, like, everybody's so just, like, in rhythm and, like, into it. We're all just in sync there hasn't really been anything too surprising. But there's definitely a lot of new inspiration that comes. Like, oh, well, let's just play a little riff here. Let's add a little Twinkle Starlight thing over there. And lots of new things that never even crossed my mind before going to the studio all of a sudden happen when you're in there. You know, usually it's great. I haven't had any moments where I'm like, oh, that was terrible.
The Twinkle Starlight editions are always like the key ones too,
right?
You know? It's always the one where it's like, oh, I love this like brief moment that you clearly came up with like right as you were listening back. You know what I mean? Oh, it's...
And then it becomes a little like ear catcher, and it's actual like hook in the song. You're like, oh wow, imagine we didn't take that 2 seconds and record that extra riff.
Totally. Cool. And now you're projecting next year that like the collection might be released, or do you think that there's still a longer road down for that to go?
Longer road down, but I do have a single that I'm planning on releasing on Valentine's Day, which is gonna be sweet. Yeah. I know I'm not usually a love song kind of gal, but I guess a few came out, so I might as well.
Yeah.
You can just say, what if it's just like a really mean song?
That'd be interesting.
Absolutely. That's your
Someone needs that Valentine's song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Someone needs it.
Absolutely. Let's get to more music here. We can play a Chanzina classic. We can play another one that was on your list. What's the vibe?
Let's play another one of my friend's music because I like to support my community. Let's do one by my friend T. Crispell. She is an amazing producer as well as a musician. So she produces her own music. She tracks it. She's wonderful. This is her latest song. It's called Winning.
I don't ever stop, no, I am so addicted to winning, but I just wanna live.
Vancouver Mixtape. That was Winning by D. Crispell here on the Mixtape with Chenzina. We're into the final 7 minutes.
Fast.
Time always flies when we're in here chatting with friends. I know you want to get to at least one more song, and I also want to give you a quick chance to, I guess, let us know where to find you, etc. On the things.
Absolutely. So you can find all my music on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all of the music streaming services. It's Chenzina, so Cenzina. On the streaming services and on Instagram, I'm Maria Chenzina. So Maria, Cenzina. My next song is coming out in 3 weeks. It's called Oz. So if you're on Spotify, please give me a follow so that you can stay tuned for that. I am just as excited about it as I've been about Doll. They were kind of born together, so I'm very excited
to
share
more. Is that
Oz? Oz.
Oz. Ooh. Looking forward to that. Any other message to the hordes of followers out there?
To anybody listening, I super appreciate you. Thank you for listening to my music. If my music resonates with you in some way, then that just means everything to me. So thank you. And to you guys, thank you for having me here.
Oh, no problem. It's the least we can do anytime. We love having people back. Second, third, fourth times. Absolutely.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah. We're happy to have you. And I'm sure we'll see you again at some point in the future. I think we'll play one song. We'll come back and say our final goodbyes.
Sounds
great. What did you want to hit?
Let's go Victoria Groff, You and I.
Here it is. You and I by Victoria Groff on Vancouver Mixtape.
Is Bird Note. The miracle of flight. That enviable ability is what birds are best known for. Yet among the nearly 10,000 bird species worldwide, only a few dozen can fly underwater. The common murre is among them. We most often think of the penguins of southern latitudes as underwater flyers par excellence. In the northern hemisphere, it's the family of seabirds called alcids, or auks, that wing their way under the marine surface. Puffins, murrelets, guillemots, and common murres are all underwater flyers. When flying above the water, the 18-inch-long common murres must flap frantically to stay aloft. But beneath the waves, using their flipper-like wings, they are streamlined, masterful swimmers. Black-and-white torpedoes chasing fish even at depths of several hundred feet. To reduce drag, the murre holds its wings only partly extended, flying through the submarine world with powerful strokes. Several hundred feet under the water. Amazing, isn't it? For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
You're a white man, and I'm a brown girl. You have my hand, but you don't know my world. I will never know how much your love is just the validation. And there will never be a clear answer for this question. So I don't need a healer, savior, colonizer. Just be my lover. Savior, colonizer. Just be my lover. Just be my lover. I'm a brown girl, and you're a white man. You love me good, but you don't understand how you'll always look that much better.
Just be my lover.
Just be my lover.